Buckle up, you beauties, because we're about to dive deep into the world of all things hockey.
Pigeon!
A greasy pigeon isn't just any old bird. It's a message. It's letting the other guy know exactly where they stand. And it is not meant to be friendly.
You guys are sensitive over there.
And now, from the Pigeon's Nest, your hosts, Jeff Sullivan and Kevin Trussler. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Sullivan, and with me, as always, the one and only beauty from across the border, Kevin Trussler. Kevin, say what up to the people.
What's going on, people?
Well, we are, as you, if you're watching us on YouTube, you are already seeing something a little different than normal. I'm sitting next to somebody as opposed to in the nest where I usually am. We have flew the coop, I guess, Kev, to a different location. I am
That's
in.
Right.
The Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, with the head coach of the USPHL premier team, Dells Ducks, Logan Wilt. Logan, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Greasy Pigeon Podcast, man.
Thank you for having me on. Super excited to be here.
Absolutely. So as our faithful listeners will notice, we have talked to Chase Croshaw, the GM of your team, already. And we hope to talk to Sean Felzone, the owner of the team here, before the show ends. But just love to... Love the access you guys have given us, the ability to talk to you guys, the ability to see your rink. I'm going to be doing, Kev, right behind us out those windows, they're literally, it's a concrete floor with the first half an inch of ice on it, unpainted. They're going to start painting it today. Hope to get some good kind of film and talk to the boys doing that. But really getting some unprecedented access to what the Ducks are doing here in the Wisconsin Dells. So before we get into what they're looking at for the season, I would just love, Logan, what's kind of your story, your background? How'd you end up in Wisconsin?
So I spent the past 3 years working in the USPHL alongside a Chase with the Detroit Fighting Irish and then the Motor City Gamblers. And it was always something for me. I was kind of, looking to grow and looking at new opportunities. So when this came about, we got the opportunity for Sean, it was kind of something we had to jump on. Everything's been great for us so far in terms of, the setup. Everything that, we have access to, and I'm looking forward to a great season.
No, that's awesome. So you have a previous relationship with Sean. Like, how did that come about? I know you and Chase had worked together previously, but, what's the relationship been like with Sean? How did you meet and, you decide on that?
So through showcases around the summer, out scouting talent and whatnot, it was kind of a mutual relationship with another coach that kind of introduced me to Sean. So over the course of the past few years, we have known each other, but it was kind of always a see you in passing kind of a situation. There wasn't, anything too tight, but, the more I get to know him and, the more I understand, why he has the success he has with the organization. I couldn't ask to be working for a better guy.
Yeah, and,
that's awesome.
And he does seem like a great guy. I've got to spend some time with Sean and the family and the whole thing. I mean, Kevin, we walked in yesterday for team check-in, and they had the merch table already all set up in the lobby. The boys had their stalls, all set up. Their merch, their swag was already stacked up for them. Like, everything was done, T-minus day one, not plus day one, day two, day three, right? That's important. The boys feel like they're part of something. The whole community came together last night that were all, the billets, they recognized the billets real strong. I mean, something that's not necessarily specific to this organization, but just the way y'all are doing it makes it a little more special than most. I mean, how is this culture compared to other places you've been and how different does that help kind of the team's successes when it's this good?
I mean, obviously everything starts at the top. So everybody kind of needs to be on the ball from there on out. And so far from what I've seen, everything is up to par. Everything's taken care of that needs to be taken care of. So it makes the job a lot easier on us. It takes a lot of the worry out of our daily routine. So it's nice to have, somebody that's on the ball and taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of.
The one thing that you guys started with is hearing that the actual ice is out of the rink, which to me warms my heart. I grew up in Canada, the ice went in September. and it came out in March. And I think hockey's become one of those things where, you know, kids are playing year round and we're not building athletes. I know Jeff and I have talked about it on multiple previous episodes, but, you know, what's your take on where the game's going, you know, how the kids, a lot of the kids at a younger age are just becoming one trick ponies and, mm-hmm. you know, not utilizing, you can use that space in behind you. You know, you can play soccer, ball hockey, you name it, right? Within the arena still, but you don't need to be on skates all the time. And, you know, what's your take with that, being that you're a head coach for a junior team? And, you know, are you seeing a lot of the kids coming up just being that one trick pony, or are you seeing the ones that are excelling multi-sport athletes?
I think there's a pretty good mix of both. I think it's a kind of case-by-case situation. You know, some guys kind of pour it all into hockey, and there's other guys that, you know, enjoy doing other things as well. And I think it's a situation where you obviously don't want to overload yourself and burn yourself out. You know, so it is always nice to have something to kind of lean back on in terms of, you know, playing another sport. But either way you look at it, I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to necessarily do things. You know, as guys get older, I think it's, you know, they start to lean a little bit more towards kind of one sport. I mean, myself personally, I played baseball as well. And once I got to, I believe it was 13 or 14, I kind of had to make that decision, which was I, you know, kind of going to devote all my time to. And, you know, obviously I chose hockey and I think I made the right decision there. But it's just something that goes kind of guy by guy and everybody has their own journey.
Yeah. And so speaking of the journey, right, you guys started your journey here to basically to the Dells right after the trophies were handed out in March of last year's season, and started building your team from that point forward. How has that process gone? Have you had to, you know, there's a few returners, basically a new team, almost turned the roster over completely, you know, like I said, outside of just a couple. How was the recruiting process? How was the selling process? Just kind of how did it all go and come together over the summer?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, yeah, obviously there's kind of a lot of overhaul when you look at the roster from last year and going into this year. And that was kind of something we talked about throughout the summer is, you know, we want to build this, how we want to do it. So over the summer, it's a matter of kind of selling ourselves as a staff, and not just that, but what we can do for, you know, each individual athlete. And along with that, it's selling the experience. It's talking about, you know, the beautiful city that we're in, all of the amenities that we have to offer, and so on. And from there, we just kind of work off of, again, going back to a case by case basis. It's, you know, each guy is kind of looking for something different in the sense of what they want out of their career. So it's, you know, doing the best that we can to try and cater to those guys and help out in any way that we can in terms of development and advancement and so on. You know, it's been a great summer. It's one of my favorite parts of doing this is, you know, you get to interact with a lot of great people. I think the hockey world's a small one, but inside of it, you find a ton of great people. So it's always a good time, you know, going to showcases, going to, you know, watching single games, things like that. It's always nice to get out and interact with people.
To piggyback off of that, with you going to showcases and meeting a lot of other people, like, you know, one of the things that a lot of parents want to know is, you know, how can my player be seen? Where do you go to see, you know, these players aside from showcases? Are you having many people reach out to you directly? And then the two part to that is, you know, what's important to you, a hockey player, that, mm-hmm. you know, that you'd like to see, you know, most of your team have. I know we're all different, right? Some need a little bit more a coddling and attention than others. But, you know, what are the key characteristics that you feel is important to you in your club?
So I think one of the big things, and it's, you know, it's super cliche to say here, but it's not the best guys, it's the right guys. So, you know, we try and do our best in terms of getting as good a judge of a character as we can, throughout the whole recruiting process. So for us, it's guys that we feel can mesh with one another, because, you know, it is at the end of the day, a team sport. And if you don't have a team, you're not going to have success. So it's just kind of looking for guys that, you know, obviously have the ability that we're looking for, but not only that, it's the character and the personality of the guys that, you know, is probably most important, because, you know, you can bring 20 of the best hockey players into a room together and you may not have success, but it's going back to finding the right guys and the guys that will mesh with each other.
They touch on the the first part of that question, I know he gave you the twofer there. Mm-hmm. Where are you finding your talent? Are you building on previous seasons? Are you going to showcases? How are you seeing the skaters out there in the community?
So with there's a lot of different ways to do that. With the way everything has gone with technology and so on, it's, you know, I can jump on a laptop and I can type in a name, and about 95% of that time I can go watch game film on somebody. So the access that we have to that is incredible, and the ability to be able to do that helps drastically. So not only that, but I'm more of a face-to-face kind of guy. So as much as we can get out to showcases or, you know, like I said, single games, we're always online looking for, you know, tournaments, any type of summer league that's going on and so on. So it's just a matter of figuring out where we're going to have the most success in terms of, you know, location and, you know, level of players as well.
So Jeff and I coached a little bit together, and, you know, one of the things that we tried to preach to kids is, look, the more positions you can play and adapt to, you know, the better off you're going to be. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at a player and looking at, obviously there's certain holes on the roster that you're going to be looking to fill. Are you looking for someone that can play that mix of, you know, center, wing, or wing and defense? I think it's so important if kids can become sort of a master of a couple positions, the more marketable you're going to be. With the squad that you have coming in this year, do you have many kids that are going to be two-way players as far as being able to play multiple positions?
So we have a couple of guys that we're very confident in their ability at, you know, whether it's playing up front or playing on the back end. And it's, when you look at that, it's, you can put anybody, you know, in terms of where you line up on the faceoff, right? You can put anybody on defense, you can put anybody on forward, but it comes down to actually knowledge of the game from that position, right? So that's, if you're somebody that is knowledgeable at both positions, sees the ice the right way, it's a great tool to have in your box in terms of the flexibility to be able to play all the positions you can outside of, you know, the goaltender. So it's, you know, it's not something that is a requirement by any means, but it's always something that's nice to have the ability and the knowledge to be able to be shifted around throughout positions. And, you know, I know we have a couple guys going into this year that have had some experience playing, you know, on the wall or, you know, on the back end or, and so on. So it's always nice to have guys like that, because hockey's such an imperfect game and, you know, you have to be able to adapt when needed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, having those bodies that can do multiple things just warms Kevin's heart. I know that for sure, because he always preached, you know, be able to play multiple positions, be someone that can contribute to the team in multiple ways. I really think is what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Right. So what is the Logan Wilt approach? You built the team to play a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. You built the team to come out and do stuff mm-hmm. the way you think in your head it should be done, right, for winning hockey. What, without giving too much away, mm-hmm. in what does that game look like for you?
So I think the biggest part that we want to avoid is, I guess, robot hockey. It's, hey, when the puck's here, you got to be here, and so on. So it's a structure, right? But we allow a lot of creativity inside of the structure. You know, you look at the defensive zone, the offensive zone, and so on. And obviously, those two structures kind of differ in the sense of creativity-wise. We want our guys to be loose and to be able to play their game. At the end of the day, we selected these guys by hand for a reason, because we believe in their ability. So it's a matter of, you know, setting up a structure that for them to play inside of, but inside of that structure, there needs to be creativity. So I think we have found a pretty good mix of the both between structure and creativity. So it's just a matter of implementing that when we hit the ice.
No, it makes sense. And, you know, so a personal question, just from, it sounds like you played, you know, I grew up mm-hmm. in the era, where it was a lot of north-south, right?
Yep.
It was dumping in. Pound, 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 you know, sort mm-hmm. of eye for an eye, that any shenanigans that were taking place on the ice, that was handled internally by the team, right? The game is sort of going away from that. My experience, at least down here with the Florida leagues, they definitely really clamped down on that. Do you see a distinct difference? And I know this is your first year with the Dells and being in the Northern Division, but mm-hmm. you know, having your experience playing in Michigan.
Yep.
But I'm always interested just to see just how being in different parts of the country, you know, is the game still being played old school, we'll say, versus what the new school is, or is it a blend of both?
So, I mean, the game is played fairly different in terms of, you know, all the regions you can go to in terms of, you know, as you were saying, the physicality, the finesse style of play and so on. And one of the biggest things that excites me about the North Division is, you know, obviously coming over here, watched a lot of games, figured out, you know, what we were getting ourselves into and so on. And I think that the coolest part about it is it's a really good mix of both here. You know, there's a lot of very skilled and talented hockey players in this division and a lot of really good teams, but I think there is still the great mix of the physical side of things in this division as well. And it's something that, you know, we're looking forward to taking head on. So it's nice to be in a situation where you have both. You know, it kind of caters to all areas of the game.
Going from last year coaching elite, and I know you did some AAA coaching up in the Detroit area, excuse me. What is the biggest thing that you either know about from your past playing experience going to this level, or what was the equivalent to this level, you know, when you played, but what's the biggest change for the kids that are making the jump this year, the kids that are coming to Premier for the first time, and the kids and parents listening that think their kids are ready to go to, you know, the NHL, right? They're going to go from some AA or AAA team straight to tier two. Like, what is the biggest jump from elite, from really AAA to elite, elite to Premier? What is that thing that's going to stand out the most this year?
So one of them would be the pace. I think the pace definitely increases at this level. And not only that, it's also the IQ side of the game as well. You know, there is a lot more structure that, you know, it's different in terms of an IQ factor. But the pace, I think, is the biggest one. You know, guys are moving a lot quicker. You have to do things at a much faster pace in terms of, you know, moving the puck, getting your shots off, things like that. So there's going to be an adjustment period for a lot of guys. And, you know, that's something that we know getting into this, but it's just a matter of how quickly guys can make that adjustment.
No, that's awesome. In talking with Jeff and just, you know, the brief experience that he's had with the Dells, one of the things that, you know, really caught my eye and what I love to hear is the sense of community there, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like you guys are very active in the community. You have the players active in the community. Is there a couple things coming up that you can tell the audience as to, you know, where you're going to be, what you're going to do? And, you know, I'm sure that gets the young ones that are coming out to watch the game to want to put the uniform on down the road with how active you guys are.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the coolest parts about being out here is, you know, it's more than hockey. It's more than just showing up to the rink, having practice and going home. It's getting the guys involved is a whole new experience. And I think it's something I urge the guys to do is really take it all in. You know, this is junior hockey was the best years of my life. And I encourage guys to get out in the community and do as much as they can. I believe in 2 weeks, we will be a part of the there's a parade coming up, a pretty large parade here in the Dells. So that's something that we're going to be involved in. And, you know, we have some other things that we've kind of mapped out as well on the community side of things, but it's something that brings people to the game. It really enhances the experience for our players being able to, you know, be in a small community like this where it's looked at a lot like a family. So it's, you know, it's making sure these guys feel at home. And I think that's a big piece to it is, you know, being able to go out and see some friendly faces and interact with the community.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's important, you know, being a part of growing up in Ontario, in a small town in Ontario, that was always something that was near and dear. With you guys just being Premier, have you hitched your wagon with any NCDC clubs at all where you're in discussions where you might be able to, you know, bring some people up, take some down? You know, what's the interactions that you're having with some of the NCDC clubs? I know just with my experience with the Tampa Juniors, they've got a relationship with one of the teams out in Utah. You know, typically as the season goes on, if someone's not getting as much ice time at the NCDC level and they feel that they could, you know, improve on their game and get more reps at the Premier level, they'll bring them down and vice versa, where, you know, someone's doing extremely well and they're able to move them up. Is there any organizations that either you're partnered with right now or you're looking to partner with for the kids that might have that opportunity?
So myself currently, I actually work in a scouting position with the Pueblo Bulls of the NCDC. So those are, you know, that's a team that we work very closely with. And, you know, in terms of guys getting called up, dropped down and so on, it's a day by day situation. It's, you know, the guys have to be doing the right things. They have to, you know, they have to be putting the work in and so on. So it's nothing that's ever guaranteed. I mean, the biggest thing for us is, you know, we tell the guys we're going to do everything we can to put you in the right situations. It's just a matter of, you know, you guys have to do your job as well. So, you know, if that's something that happens for us, it's great. It's, again, it's never a guarantee, but if it's something that, you know, is able to happen, it's something that we welcome and we want for our guys.
Yeah. It seems
awesome.
Yep. Yeah. The opportunity seems there to at least get the kids set up in the right way, mm-hmm. and get them moving. And that all starts, you know, day one of the season, which for you guys is today. We happen to be here on day one. I can hear we're in the coach's room now. The locker room door is closed to our left, but you can hear the room is getting loud. So coaching duties are calling here shortly. But what does the next week, 2 weeks, Ducks have a late start this year compared to some other teams. Your home opener isn't until October, correct?
Yes.
So you, and then we have four away games the last weekend of September, whereas I know TBJ, Kevin, the home opener for your son is the 19th or something.
Yeah, it's later this year. Is there a reason for that, Logan? Do you know? Because I noticed, like, we were playing by this week, we had games going on. So it seems like the whole season has been pushed out a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely sure that there's an exact reason for that. I mean, I know, you know, things are always tricky in terms of scheduling and, you know, getting everybody on the same page in that sense. So that may have something to do with it, but not to my knowledge, in terms of an exact reason as to why that is. You know, in terms of preparing for our, you know, upcoming games, it's doing everything that we can to get the guys on the ice as much as possible. And not only that, but making sure we're starting to build the team side of things, right? It's not just individual guys showing up and doing their job. It's a team, right? So that's the biggest thing for us is going into those games. We want to make sure we're doing everything that we can to team build and get these guys all on the same page when we hit the ice for those first slate of games.
Yeah, a quick question. USPHL and the NHL. You know, I don't know if you've had much interactions with the NHL. I know we asked Chase this question, but what is your feeling and the distinct differences between, you know, those two leagues and organizations? Because I, you know, I'm hearing that constantly where one feels one is better than the other or vice versa type of deal. So I'm just interested to get your take on the differences between the two.
I mean, you know, the North American League obviously does a phenomenal job in terms of, you know, exposure, you know, moving guys on to Division I, Division III college hockey, along with the USPHL doing the same. It's kind of two different sides. They're both kind of trying to achieve the same goal. You know, me personally working in the USPHL, I think there's a lot of upsides to both, and it's kind of a matter of sitting down and looking at pros and cons to both situations. Location's a big part of it. You know, where you can be at, what you decide you want to do with, you know, with the game. And it's, again, each individual player has their own path and their own journey. It's finding out what's, you know, what you're best suited for. Because, you know, if you're in a position where, you know, let's say you're playing in the North American League, but you're, you know, you're not seeing many minutes, you know, you're not getting a ton of game time, anything like that, that may not be the best scenario for you. You need to be in a situation where you can be seen, you have time to develop and so on. So it's just a matter of finding the right mix and, you know, finding the best situation that's going to help you achieve what you want to out of the game.
No, I think, yeah, the one distinction that I liked, at least having a young player in it, is the no trade, right? In the USPHL, like from a premier and elite perspective, you can ask for your release or you can be released, but in the North American NA3, you can be traded. And I know a couple kids that's happened to, and you know, that would be a big deterrent from my perspective. But you know, again, both leagues seem to be very good.
Yes.
But no, you got a lot to prepare for. I personally really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely.
Is it still on the docket that you guys are going to be down here in Tampa? Is that official? I know.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All
yes,
right. Well,
we are looking forward
definitely
to it.
Look forward to meeting you in person, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. You got a great goaltender there. Yeah. You know, it starts from the back end, baby. So,
four Tampa area players on the team this year. Former Tampa Bay Junior, Alexander Wilkie's here. Jackson Wesley, who was played with the Motor City Gamblers and Logan last year. Braden Sullivan, obviously my son, played with you guys last year, and I'm forgetting the fourth one.
Marcus Lourdes.
Okay, gotcha. Yep. Okay. So, yep. Yeah, good. A lot of Tampa connections up there or up here from there, and we're looking forward to getting the whole band together. We'll have to get a high top reserved at Top Shelf and have a good little show.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got some good players there. Just, you know, my son played with Alex the past couple of years. Great heart and soul. He is a good locker room guy. He's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team. Obviously, I was sad not to see him stay down here, but obviously wish him nothing but the best. And yeah, you got some good ones there. So, gentlemen, I wish you all the best. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. Logan, appreciate you taking the time out of your busy morning. First day training camp underway. Like I said, we appreciate the access that not only sitting down with you guys and talking today, but being able to kind of hang out for a bit and see some of the behind the scenes on the rink and that sort of thing as it gets the ice put in. But we appreciate your time today and wish you all the best. Thank you
absolutely.
For coming on.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good luck, Logan.
Thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, we will continue talking hockey with Jeff and Kevin in the Nest. Well, welcome back, everybody. Great segment, Kev. I think you would agree. Talking to Logan Wilt, the head coach of the Dells Ducks. And now we are fortunate to be joined by the owner of the Dells Ducks, Sean Felzone. Owned the Ducks for quite a few years. I don't want to steal his thunder. I'd love him to explain the path because it is an interesting story how you became the owner of a junior A hockey team. And I know that Kevin, having played junior in Canada and now both of us having our kids in juniors, the whole thing fascinates both of us. It really does. So I would love to hear your story on how you ended up as the owner of the Dells Ducks. But first, man, thank you for joining us here in the new and different Pigeon's Nest today as we're on location. But like I said, welcome. And please, man, give us your story because it's very interesting.
Well, thank you. So about 13 years ago, I actually started a program as the head coach. A gentleman, a friend of mine, offered me a job. I took it. It was an opportunity where I brought a bunch of teams up and we played against each other. And my teams won the showcase. So after that, they liked the way I ran things. And a couple of them came over and talked to me about being a head coach. So I did that for a while. Left. I'm the guy they bring in to help fix things and rebuild programs. So I started a couple programs. I went up, started an NCAA program, a couple other ones in there. And then finally, I get a call from one of the local people here asking me if I can come back. So I asked him, well, you know, what's going on? He explained that there's no more fans in the stands. We don't have sponsors no more. There's a lot of things going on and it needs to be changed up. So I reached out to my friend who still owned the team and talked to him for a little bit. And he was like, yeah, you know, this is what's going on. If you want to come out and be the new coach, we'd love to have you. So I told him, I said, I'd come back, but I want to be the owner. I put a lot of time in the first time and the program was great. And, you know, we had other coaches come in after me and they did great jobs and then just kind of fell apart after that. So I said, okay, I'll come back as the owner. And he's like, done, it's yours. Have fun. Take it over. I know you do better than I am because you can be there. So I end up doing that for now. I'm going on 5 years as the owner. And, you know, after coming in here, we cleaned house, you know, got all new players, all new coaches, all staff, you know, brought in. Now we're averaging 200 to 300 fans a game, which is a big increase. We're growing with sponsors every day. So we're expanding and getting better. And, you know, we have great coaches bringing in excellent players, especially this year. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That is awesome to hear. So are you from like Wisconsin originally then? Is that where home was growing up or?
No, I'm actually from Illinois originally. I've been in Illinois most of my life. And then I came out here, bounced around out here a lot, doing the coaching for the team and then helping some other programs. And then I ended up going back to Illinois. Then I ended up going to Texas to help rebuild some programs out there and start some programs. And then, of course, back here to Dells now.
With how you left the Dells the first time and what you came back to, was there a distinct difference? Like you said that things sort of fell apart. Were there other key people that followed you to your next stop? Like what was the big reason?
Yeah, they were doing well. So when I left, we lost in the semifinals our first year. We had an excellent team. At that time, you're averaging 150 to 200 kids a tryout for at that. There wasn't so many junior teams, which was a great thing. And then we left with a coach named actually Bill Zamboni, and he did awesome. He won a title here. He took the program, expanded it, and blew it up. Unfortunately, he had to leave the program and go somewhere else due to some family things. After that, we kind of went into a downward spiral where I think it just different coaches came in. They couldn't put much effort as owners to get here and do a little more work. And it just kind of fell apart little by little. And it's we're a small town out here. So if you let it go, it can destroy you. And if you upset the locals, that will destroy the program too. So when I got a call from the local to come back, that's when we stepped back in and made that change. And everybody was thrilled because they knew who I was and they liked my attitude and what I do. So.
Yeah. And we've, like I said to Logan, in the last segment, we appreciate the access that you've given us as an organization. You know, we've talked to Chase, we've talked to Logan, now we're talking to you. I mean, that's all levels of pretty much the management structure of the organization, right? We're in the coach's room having this meeting. I got to tour the locker room. I got to, you know, we just saw all the boys walk out. I'm literally watching them, you know, paint the ice later this afternoon. Like yeah. We've got some unprecedented access to your organization, which we appreciate. And we hope that we can share that to our fans because a lot of parents and prospective juniors players and whatever, they don't see how you make the cake. They just see the cake come out of the oven. Right. So all that's important. But what I was curious about was you look at the team from a different way than anybody else does, right? The GM's building the team. The head coach is putting the structure together and coaching the team. You're running the operation and you've been very clear, you know, in the past that you're a hands-off owner from a day to day. You do the ownership stuff. You stay away from the game day stuff. What is the Ducks mission statement from the ownership level? What are you trying to achieve as an owner of a junior program?
Our goal is simple. Our goal is to move players on. We are here to make a better man and a better player out of each player that comes in. I promise every player when they walk in the door, as long as they want to put the effort in, they will come out 100 times better than they walked in. And we give them every tool to do it. And with the coaches to the scouts, you know, to the ice time. Their opportunities here are limitless as long as they want to put the work in. So our goal is simple. Just every player, we want them to move on and go and push to the next level.
You'd said something earlier about, you know, the growth of the junior game and teams popping up. You know, I hear mixed reviews from people on, you know, it's watering down the league. It may not be as competitive because, you know, if Johnny doesn't make your team, there's always going to be some team that's willing to take his money and have him on the club. What's your take on where the game stands from a compete and competitive level? I love the growth. Don't get me wrong, but you know, with that too, you know, there's going to be teams that are not as good. And ironically, I was talking to someone last Sunday that was on that team that lost 37-0 or whatever. I guess as an owner, what's your thoughts? Because everyone loves expansion, don't get me wrong. But, you know, do we have enough talent to warrant that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a good and bad. It is expanding. It used to be when we had we were in a Minnesota Junior Hockey League. We had the ability to send out a person to defend each other, defend a team. You know, you had that ability to have a little more physical presence where people had a lot more respect for the game, just in my opinion. And then, you know, from where it's growing then, where we're picking a top 20 or 30 out of 150 people, it was wonderful. And those kids were all, we had kids that were NCAA D1 opportunities, D2 or D3, just dependent, and it was excellent. Now it's a little bit harder because everybody's offering different deals and different programs and different packages. It all depends on where you go. You know, adding teams into our league, it makes it a little bit better because you're bringing a little more competition. But at the same time, as an owner, we are having a harder time finding players. You know, for our program here, it's nicer because we draw a lot more people due to the extra ice we have and all the extra stuff that we can bring. But there's other programs out there that unfortunately don't get that ability, and then you see them go from a full team one year to not a team the next year, which is it's sad. But at the same time, it's like I said, now we have tryouts, and you're lucky to have 30 people there. So we don't even do tryouts no more. We do showcases, and I get out programs for players to come out and try it out and see what they think. And We allow them to come out during the season. That's the only way right now that we can get ourselves ahead of the game for what's coming up next. Where originally you set a tryout date and you had, like I said, 150 people signed up ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that too, you just hit on it. And I think this is an interesting side topic I'd love to hear your thoughts on. So the Dells Bucks is a obviously very viable franchise. You get gate admission, which a lot of teams struggle with, right? The ticket count at the door is non-existent for some programs. Yes. You know, mom and dad pay the tuition, and then mom and dad are the only ones in the stands, and they're paying a gate to get in at the same time, right? So that's how some organizations run.
Yep.
We've had a team that shut down in the USPHL in South Carolina preseason. There's rumblings, and I won't mention any names, but there's rumblings that there may be one or two other teams that are actively looking to close their doors now, right? Moving in the next couple of weeks. Are you, and again, I don't want to get into details and spill the tea with other programs, but are you in, is there meetings with the league? Is this something that owners are involved in so you know what's coming officially, you know, other than the rumor mill? How does that just kind of all work? How do you guys overcome that? And how do you make sure that the Ducks is not one of these programs that is going to have to shut down come December, January, you know, because of whether it's lack of funds or whatever? Just curious how that all works, Sean.
Yeah, so the league does have meetings. They actually have we have a representative from each division that will go together and they meet. And from there, they'll have those, I think it's 15 guys, something like that, that will get out and they will have their meeting discussion, and then they separate and go to all us division owners and we'll sit there and talk about what's going on. You know, things have changed a little bit this last year, which has been all of them have been good so far. You know, it's been a plus. It's getting a little more organized and controlled for all of us. It's just a lot of change at one time. But yeah, as you know, our goal for me is my program here is even with our record, we still draw people. And I think the biggest thing is our area. I mean, this is the area where you can walk down the street, not to look over your shoulder all the time, which unfortunately that's not every area. And then we have our billets that are excellent, that gives people an actual place to live. You know, unfortunately, some programs don't have that ability or don't do it or whatever the situation is. You know, so I think as we want to make sure everybody's happy when they're here. Like I tell the players, if you're unhappy, we'll let you go. I'll send you somewhere you are happy to make sure if you're not happy being here, then you don't want to play hockey with us. And that just ruins the rest of it. And we want to make sure that when they come here, they play, they're happy that when the season's over. If not, we'll let them go and we'll find a better place for them that they could fit in. And maybe it's just they don't like the winners. I don't know, either thing, right? But we want to make sure they're always happy. I think that's where we do the best. I mean, we haven't had the best seasons the last couple of years, you know, and we took it over and made it from a rough program. And we built up, but it still hasn't been where you want to, well, as an owner, where I want them to be, of course. But you just hope you bring in the right coaches and make sure those guys do all the right work for us.
You know, to go back on, you know, the teams that had recently folded, I can't help but think, I know that, you know, both of them have been in the Southeast, right? You had the Generals in season last year, and then Columbia, you know, I think last week or a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I think maybe I'm wrong, but the definitive factor there is both of those organizations, they had both a premier and an elite team. So I can only imagine, I know when we had Chase on a couple weeks ago, you know, you guys are a premier-only organization. Obviously, cost associated with carrying both clubs is going to be an issue, and I can't help but think if that's probably a big reason why some of those organizations aren't able to survive. And, you know, I don't know, with you being in the North, you know, I noticed just down here in the South, everyone's got both. It's elite and premier. Is that by design, or, you know, what's the reasoning behind that? I like it if you can support it and be competitive and, you know, you have an opportunity where, you know, you got bubble kids that are on either top of the elite, bottom of premier, and, you know, hey, you get an opportunity to move up to the big club, or you're going to move down and get more minutes that way. So I, you know, always interested just to see, because I noticed just looking from a geographical standpoint, you know, elite tends to be more along the Eastern seaboard.
Yeah, that's where it all originally started from, is that area. And then the South Division, like, you know, by Florida, all those guys. Though they've had those programs for a while. As an owner, business-wise, it's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, one, it does bring more money into the program. But two, of course, it does cost more money. I mean, our busing alone for one team is about $40,000. you can't imagine what two teams were. Now, if you're shipping two teams to the same place, you get a little more benefits that way where you're saving a little bit of money and it ends up going that way. The flaw is you have to, I don't know, it's one of those ones that's hard to recruit for. You know, yeah. I believe the Elite program is a program set for kids that are just stepping into juniors, aren't ready to make that physical jump into that game, especially out here in our division. The physical play is a beast over here compared to, you know, the skill-wise out in the east side. So it's one of those where you're almost there and you're hoping those guys can get the opportunity to move up. But it's not the easiest sell when you have so many programs and so many people. And I can go play Premier and for this program, even though they're dead last, it's not a big deal. But I can go there instead of playing Elite. So it bounces back and forth. You just need the right coaches in there, both sides, that work together. And as a feeder program, we'd love to have that. We would love to have the whole youth program all the way up. It's just not something that's in our picture at the moment. But that would be a future goal for us.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for sure. No. And I had a conversation with a mutual friend of ours, Kevin, whose son had an opportunity to take the step from AA Florida Hockey to a juniors program. And it was a former player of ours. I won't mention his name to call him out, but he had an opportunity to do just what you said. Then the dad was asking me, well, he's got this premier opportunity and he's got this elite opportunity. And so I asked a couple of questions and he's like, oh, I don't know. I didn't ask that question. I was like, well, you need to ask these questions, you know, and they're the, where are you going to play? Where do you see me fit in? Do you see me, you know, on the bottom of your lineup, the top of your lineup, whatever. And he was like, oh, well, this premier team, they're going to use them, whatever, whatever. And the premier team was one of those, you know, one in 41 teams. Right. And not that that means they can't grow or whatever, but you're struggling to get people there because you don't have, you know, the good track record or whatever. And the other program that he ended up going to, he took the elite spot, is, I mean, a premier Northeast program that's been around for a long time. And he took the elite spot there because the coach had answers for him about fitting in and growing. And like you said, first year, let's get into it. Let's see how you can do it and whatever. So I think at the end of the day, it's about the questions. And we've talked about this, Kev, on the podcast a bunch of times. Where do you see me? Where's your game time? Am I going to be on the bench or am I going to be on the ice? I'm no good to myself. I'm the third scratch every Friday and Saturday night. I'm not getting anywhere. So, yay, I'm on this awesome team, or yay, I'm playing NCDC, but I'm not playing. So it doesn't matter what my tagline says on Elite Prospects at that point, right? So, but I'd love for you to talk about the Wisconsin Dells kind of as an area. So I saw a little bit of it last night. We had our team dinner meeting. I mean, the owner of the rink is there talking to the kids. The ice technician's there talking to the kids. Sean's there. Your family's involved. Yeah. There's swag in the lobby. Can you just give us the whole rundown? I mean, the billet coordinator and the billet family, they do a special thing for them. Like, the whole thing here is just, it's small town, but not in a bad way. Like, some people, that has a bad connotation nowadays when you say something small town. It's Americana here is really the feel I get. I would just love for you to explain to the listeners really what separates this whole area and the way the hockey fits into it versus, you know, even a place like Tampa, right? The big city mentality.
Yeah. So the Dells is one of those areas that in the summer we're averaging 1 to 2 million people a day. It's the water park capital world. And then after that, winter hits, then you're down to 3,000 people. So the biggest attractions here are whatever they could bring in for conferences and that kind of stuff. But the nice thing about the 3,000 people is when you walk around with a Ducks logo on your jacket or your shirt, people know who you are. And that's our biggest thing was we're growing our fan base. We have our players get involved with the community from working at the outlet mall and helping people there for Santa Claus comes in, we're the elves. You know, if we have a Wazawa parade coming up, the players will be over there helping set up tents. They're getting involved or they're doing this voluntarily and they get involved with the community of that area. And then at the same time, we start bringing in more and more fans that way too. You know, the Dells is all ran where if somebody runs a stop sign and they get pulled over, we will know about it before they get their ticket. Like that's how small a town is. And it keeps all the players in line and they're together. Now they're all boys. Boys can find trouble. But on the other hand is if they do, we know right away. And either the rink manager and the owner jumps in there and he'll take over or they'll go to our billet coordinator. And then the coaches, we try to keep it away from the coaches unless it's something serious. And then if it goes to the coaches, then they can deal with that one on their own. But like our biggest thing is we have a good staff. The billet coordinator is huge. You know, having families taking our players in is the number one thing to having our program run. Without that, we don't have nothing. Then you have the rink guy who says, you know, you come in here and you clean up our rink and make sure you take care of it. And we even had the players put the ice in, paint the lines, do the rink so they can feel how much work it takes to do it. So when they see the blue come out of the ice, they're not kicking it. They're going over to the rink manager or they're grabbing snow and doing it themselves and trying to fill it in. Oh, don't want to get them, don't want to mess it up. You know, we want them to take ownership in what they do, from like everything from the rink all the way out to their what we do outside of the rink. So,
yeah.
I think it's so important. Growing up in a small town myself, you know, everyone knew everyone, and you know, it takes a village to raise these young men, right? So, the fact that you are doing that with the rink, Jeff knows, you know, I coached for a number of years, and one of my favorite coaches growing up, it's like, if we came into a locker room and it was destroyed, it didn't matter. That was our home now. And mm-hmm. we're going to leave the home the way we want our home, which is clean and, you know, respectful for the next people. So no, I think that's extremely important. That's awesome. What's the youth programs like there? Like, are you involved in like, is there a Dells, you know, Squirt, Pee-wee, 16, you know, is there a feeder program that way? Have you started to venture possibly going that route where, you know, you get them excited to wear the Dells uni at a very young age and hopefully, you know, they'll be wearing the junior sweater one day?
Yeah, they have. So we have a bunch of youth programs out here. We don't have our own. What we do is the players will go out and volunteer to get out there with them, especially the Mites and the Squirts. And then we even get phone calls from the high school team asking if players come out and give a hand over there. So it's we try to make sure we're involved with all of them we can. The coaches will be running power skates for them and that kind of stuff. We do private skates for the players, trying to get them to help them out and grow. In the summertime, we do tournament teams that are Junior Ducks. And the Junior Ducks program, we'll get ice where we can get it. Unfortunately, this rink closes down in the summer, but when we do it, we expand and we get people from all over Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and bring them together and just go out and have some more fun that way.
That's awesome. So, you know, what's the long-term goal? Are you looking to stay, you know, within the youth junior program, or do you have goals to go up into semi-pro or pro level? What's the long-term goal for you?
Our goal right now for us is just to grow the program from the youth up and then go from there. If we can get into higher levels, like, I mean, I guess our next step would be NCDC. You know, I think if you can get some of those programs out here towards us, the Midwest instead of all East, it will help us grow a little bit more. But at the same time, you don't want to start watering down that program either. So it's one of those, you know, ropes that you're walking and making sure what side you're staying on there. But it gets a little more complicated. But for us, the youth program would be huge for us. It would help keep this program going, and at the same time, we'd be able to help and get more and more kids involved and help these kids in their program where they want to go in their future wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
And I'm sure you heard the ruckus in the background if you're listening. The team just came in back into the locker room. They're out there, started their training camp, so to speak. What does the rest of today and the rest of this week hold for you? I know Logan gave us kind of what his thought is as the coach. What is the owner's role the next couple of days, and kind of how do from your standpoint, just kicking off the season, what's on your checklist?
For me, it's just a matter of getting the uniforms taken care of. We have the apparel that came in for the players yesterday, but of course we're missing a box, you know, so it's all the fun stuff that comes into that kind of area. I stay out of the coaching stuff. I give them my recommendations when they ask, you know, but right now I'm like, today I'm taking them to their gym. I'm going to show them their gym. They have 24-hour access to, they get to meet the trainer and all that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow, next couple of days, they meet our yoga instructor, you know, so we give them all that kind of stuff. That's the only area that I involve. I believe this week should be all off ice stuff, putting the rest of the ice in, be back on. We're hoping to be on the ice by next week, which would be great. I think by Friday, they're actually going to start breaking the ice and then finishing it off and getting back in there. So it'll be huge. But the coaches take care of all that kind of stuff, and I just make sure all the technical and financial stuff is taken care of. And I think I'll be talking to parents more this week than I will be players, probably.
Absolutely. Kev, any final thoughts for Sean?
No, like I said to Logan and Chase, Sean, I appreciate everything that you do for the sport, for these families. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I know that you're going to be down here in Tampa in June. I hope you're going to be down here so I can – you know, put a true face to a name, shake your hand, and it's been a pleasure having you on. And with you being in a small town, just make sure Chief Wiggum stays away from this guy over here. He's been known to run a few stop signs.
Yeah, well, he'll be down in Tampa in January. I don't want to screw up the schedule, pundits. So in January, right after Christmas, is when the Ducks will be down in Tampa. So
January.
Look forward to sitting. Yeah, look down to sitting down and talking with everybody there. But again, I echo Kevin's sentiment. Sean, thank you for not only coming on the show, letting us take over your office for a little bit this morning, really getting a deep dive inside, you know, behind the veil, so to speak, of what the Ducks organization is. It's having been around, not as much as Kevin in the game, but I know Kevin and I have talked about it off air. What you guys are doing here is different than 99% of other organizations. The community is a different feel. All of it is just different. So we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you letting us have time to talk to you, and wish you all the best this season.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy coming on, and if you guys ever have questions or anything, let me know.
We'll do, for sure.
Sounds good.
Kevin, anything for the people to wrap up today?
You know what? We're getting closer, guys. Getting closer. That's the best part. You know, hockey's right around the corner. So, you know, good luck to the training camp. Good luck to all the teams in their training camp. And, you know, hopefully it's going to be an exciting and fun season for all.
It absolutely will be. And one last thing, I would be remiss, and this is unrelated to the Ducks, but we all know of the story with the Goudreau family that took place last week. You know, Johnny is the big name, of course, but his brother, that family, you know, got devastated. And I think I speak for all three of us, but thoughts and prayers. I mean, it's so cliche to say that, but that's sometimes all you can do. You know, we put the hockey stick out, and, you know, we put up the in memorandum post there, but he was, you know, from my standpoint of Johnny Gaudreau, was he played his college hockey in Boston. He won a national title there. And I had, you know, experience with him, never in person or anything, but just watching college hockey when I lived in New England. He was one of those guys that was a standout star. So kind of feel a little closer to guys like that, even though I don't know him. I never met the man, but you feel like you know him. And I feel horrible for that family and what happened. And the hockey world's not going to be the same.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
We wish you all the best, and we'll see you next time on the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Cheers.